Thank you, Lord. Those shoes are bright, man. Does he plug them in at night? I believe so, yeah. Those are pretty bright. Well, glory. Hey, man, it is good to be back having church. Amen. It is good to be back together having church. And I see a few more have found their way back in here this morning from last week. I want to encourage you to be here on Wednesday night. Listen, how many of you just struggle from, just frankly, just from being alive? Amen? I mean, it's a day-to-day thing. You know, I have learned through the years of ministry that there's a vast majority. I'm not saying it's you. I'm just saying that I've learned that there is a vast majority of people that come to church on Sunday morning with the hopes that the preacher's going to be good enough to carry them through 6 days until they can get back on the seventh day, so that they can be pumped back up again. I'm going to tell you something today. I ain't that good. Not only am I not that good, but that's not my job. Listen, if you'll get in your Word and you begin to read your Word and study your Word, you're going to find in there that it says it is your job to study and show yourself a workman rightly able to divide the Word of truth. That's your job, not mine. Can I just tell you this morning, without being ugly? I mean, I'm ugly, but I mean, Listen, this church isn't even for the saved people. All three of you. Your job as a child of God is to go out there and to spread the Word and bring the unsaved into this place so that they can get saved. Amen. And if you get them saved out there, that's awesome. Get them in here, we'll get them baptized. We'll hold them down until they bubble and say tithe, and together we build. Amen. Listen, how many of you believe the church is sick and tired? The church is sick and tired. You want to know why? Because the church has quit doing what the church has been called to do. God help me. Huh? This might be part of my sermon. You don't know. Let me ask this question. Is it ministering to anybody? Because that's the important part, whether it's my sermon or not. If it's ministering to you, it's good. And so here's the deal. Too many times we go to a church and we hear the Word, we hear what the minister has done or whatever, and sometimes I've seen it in my own life, in my own ministry, that people get upset with what's being said and they just leave. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And folks get their tail in a knot and they leave and they go across town to that other place where things seem like they're really going well, and they're there for a while and somebody over there said something, makes them angry again. Now they jump across and go over here instead of dealing with whatever it was at ground zero. We just spread sickness and disease all through the church. Nobody ever gets well, and the church cannot function when it is sick. Let me just tell you, if you're sitting at home today watching by way of the internet, let me speak directly to you for just a moment. If you're laying out a church because the church has hurt you, it wasn't the church that hurt you. It wasn't Jesus that hurt you. You need to figure out a way to confront whatever it was that has caused you to stay out of church. Deal with it. Ask God and whoever to forgive you and get back to church. Because as long as the devil can keep you isolated and separated, you are dead meat. I'm telling you. We are called here to preach the gospel. My job is to raise up an army. On Friday night, we don't talk about what we do and what we say and all those kinds of things in our Friday night meeting. But I'm going to tell you one thing that we talked about in our meeting. And it's going to come out in my message. I'm going to just get it out right now. Listen, young man. You're leaving this week, and I'm trying not to get the cart before the horse, but I'm just saying, you're leaving here this week. I watched y'all cry all morning long, bawling, squalling. You know why? Because somebody that they love is being separated from them to a place called boot camp. You know why y'all are squalling and bawling? Because you ain't going with him. And there's a direct reason why you ain't going with him. Because if mama and the girlfriend go to boot camp with the boy, his mind is not going to be on what they're trying to get through your thick head. I was your age once, and I know that you have a thick head. It was a long time ago, but ain't much changed. Because listen to me, Andrew, when you go to boot camp, they separate you out from everybody else because they want to get some things in your mind that you are not distracted by the things of this life, whether it's your love or whether it's mama being concerned that they're being too rough on my boy. I don't know why, I just feel led to let this out. Because while you're off to boot camp, let me just tell you something. Let me shift gears. This body had better figure out some way to get in boot camp and get separated from the things of this world and get our mind focused again on the reality that Jesus Christ is coming back. And if you and I are not ready when He gets here, we are going to be left behind. You got to stand up, get in your Word, and do what God's called you and I to do. I don't know how to make that all happen. I just feel this in me. You know why? Because I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. We have an enemy, church. We have an enemy. The Bible talks very explicitly about him. We don't talk about it too much in church, but we're going to talk about it today. Because, young man, you are going to serve this nation. As screwed up as this nation has become right now, listen, that you are going to be a light. I'm commissioning you as your pastor to be the light. To be the difference. Regardless of who's in the White House, Jesus Christ is still on the throne and He's called you to serve Him wherever you are. But you are going to face an enemy, young man. Church, you and I face an enemy every day. And here's a little news flash for you, John. He hates your guts and he'd love to kill you. And he doesn't even like you. As cute as you are, he'd love to kill you. You know why? Because you're a threat. Some of us have got to ask ourselves honestly before God, am I even a threat? Listen, in my lifetime, there's been a lot of wars. I mean, there was Vietnam. I don't know. I didn't research all this. Maybe I was even alive during the very end of the Korean War. I'm not sure. Huh? Early 50s, 1959, I showed up. That would be the late 50s. I just missed it. Let me tell you something. I didn't miss the Vietnam War era. If you fought in the Vietnam War era, my heart and my hat is off to you. I commend you. I congratulate you. I say welcome home. Good job. Thank you for doing what we as a nation never appreciated. Thank you for going. There's been the Gulf War. There's been Desert Storm. There've been our World Trade Center on our very own ground was attacked. Our Twin Towers was attacked on American soil. We never thought that the war would come to the American soil, but it has, and we have seemed to have forgotten. But beyond all of those things, church, let me tell you something. War seems to be a part of our life in a very real sense. And in these conflicts of recent years, it seems as though that most often the enemy comes right out and declares who did it. Like, it's like, hey, we did that. We did that. But you and I, as Christians, we fight a spiritual battle. Well, I'll tell you what, I could bring you up here and we could duke it out. And I mean, in the physical realm, we could just beat the tar out of one another. But we're not fighting that kind of a war. You can't use fists and guns and knives and artillery to win this war. This is a spiritual conflict. And we are fighting against someone, and we oftentimes, in this spiritual battle, we might very well ask, who is the enemy? Who is the enemy? Can I tell you? It is not the non-believer. It is not the non-believer. Although occasionally, you and I will meet a person that is so, in fact, full of the enemy and full of rebellion against God that he or she actually declares themselves to be the enemy of Christianity. I've met those kind of people. They are truly out there. Our secular media, the world systems work relentlessly to undermine God's truth, but they are not the enemy. I just had this thought. You know how to silence the media? Quit watching them. Quit listening to their nonsense. I mean, I'm just putting it out there. When the Lord downloads it, it goes out. If we quit turning on that TV, listening to that news, I can't tell you how many people have said, listen, you got to do this, and you got to do that, you got to get this, you got to get that shot, you got to get the booster, you got to get all these other kind of things, or you're going to die. Well, if I die, I ain't dying a day before Jesus Christ wants me home. Whether I have the shot, if you've had the shot, God bless you. I love you with my whole heart, just like I did beforehand. But I'm telling you, my faith and my trust is in God. Did I get sick? Yeah. Did I overcome? Yeah. I might get sick again. And if I do, I'll either overcome or God will take me home when He's ready to have me. Not until. We need to shut the nonsense off. Our enemy is Satan and his spiritual forces of evil. Satan is the deceiver. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the destroyer. He's the adversary of our soul and the souls of our friends and our loved ones. He is like Listen, he's not a roaring lion. He is like a roaring lion, and he's looking for those of us that he can attack and he can devour. If you're sitting at home today with your tail in a knot because the church has hurt you in some way or another, you are being successfully separated away from the body, because there's power in numbers and there's strength in the body, and so you're being separated out, and the devil, if you don't do something about it, the devil is going to take you out. Whew. How many of you know the Apostle Paul sounded the battle cry? You drove all the way from Washington just to get yelled at all morning. They didn't tell you, did they? Paul sounded the battle cry. He wanted us to know who it is we're fighting. Can I just tell you this? Our enemy is powerful. Our enemy is powerful. But how many of you also add to the rest of that, the truth of the rest of it? He is also defeated. Let me tell you this morning just how powerful he is. He is as powerful as you let him be. He only has the power over your life that you surrender to him. That's all. That's it. He is under our feet. He is a defeated foe. He's a foe nonetheless, but he is a defeated foe. Don't forget it. I used to wear a t-shirt, and on that t-shirt it said, "The next time the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future." Church, we have forgotten that. We have forgotten about that. He has a future, and it's in a place called hell. And let me just tell you something. My Bible tells me that God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's His will. That's His perfect will. But how many of you know this? Another thing we talked about on Friday night. You and I have a free will. Amen? God has two wills. He has His perfect will, and He has His permissive will. His perfect will is that you and I would follow hard after Jesus, that we would get our face in God's Word, that we would pray and seek Him, that we would call down the Holy Spirit and do exploits in the name of Jesus. He has called us to lay hands on the sick and cast out devils and raise the dead and see that blinded eyes are open and deaf ears are opened to hear. But you know what? We don't do that no more. You know why? Because we ain't prayed up. Hello. You want to check this thing? Is it still working? Church, we got to get prayed up. Grandma, we got to quit relying on your generation to pray us into heaven. Hello. Boy, I got to call Grandma. Because I got to get Grandma to pray for me. Because I'll tell you what, if not, it's bad. God didn't say anywhere in His Word for you to call Grandma. I know everybody's laughing, but you want to know something? It ain't funny. It ain't funny. He said that you and I, you know why I wouldn't make a very good Catholic priest. Because I wouldn't do well in that box. Listening to all your mess. How could I look you in the eye after you come over there, tell me all your mess, and I'm supposed to look you in the eye? Keep a straight face. And you're trying to trust me enough with your mess to get it to God and not forget any of it. It ain't my job. It's not His either. We have an advocate with the Father. And He said that we are to bring our prayers, make our requests known unto God. We are to confess our sins one to another. I can't confess my sins to you because then you'll know what I've been up to. And if you know what I've been up to, you're going to look at me differently, just like I was going to look at her differently, if you really know what I'm about. It's true. It's true. Let me just tell you something. If you had to confess all your sins to your brother or to your wife or to your friend, I bet there'd be a lot less of it go on. I didn't get much on that one. Pardon me? It's true. I haven't even got through the first page. Now you know why I only have 5 pages. Let me tell you, church, as we prepare to engage in spiritual warfare, how many of you remember the sons of Sceva? The sons of Sceva. Anybody remember them boys? What happened to them, sir? And then what happened to them? Excuse me? They what? They got the tar beat out of them. And they got run off down the road naked. When you engage in spiritual warfare, you better be wearing the armor. I promise you, young man, whether you know this or not, they got a backpack waiting for you. They got a gun registered in your name. They got all kind of stuff they're going to put in that bag. It's going to weigh 40, 60 pounds. You're going to learn how to run with that bag on. You're going to learn how to carry a little additional weight. You're going to have a helmet on. You're going to probably have a radio. You're probably going to have boots on. All this kind of stuff, because it's the suit of armor that he's going to have to learn to communicate, to navigate, to get around, to not get weak under the burden of the armor and the clothing that you're wearing. And church, we got to get strong enough in our spiritual life that we quit taking the armor off, because it just gets heavy. Well, glory. See what you have to look forward to, young man? You better get mama to buy you a box of Wheaties before you leave. Too bad you ain't going to be here next Saturday. You can slap down some biscuits and gravy. Glory to God. Listen, as we begin to prepare to engage him in spiritual warfare, we cannot be intimidated by his influence. We need to put on the whole armor of God, and we need to begin to stand together with other believers. Listen to Ephesians 6 and 12. For we wrestle not. Say, I wrestle not. I wrestle. You want to know what that means? I do not wrestle. I don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. What in the world? Huh? Oh, yeah. That Bible thing is messed up. It says that we do wrestle against flesh and blood, but mine says we don't. Let's vote. Yeah, we do not wrestle. No, she just copied that and pasted it from someplace else. So it's their bad, not ours. Just as long as you... Another commercial. How many of you have your Bible with you today? Huh? Because if you don't have your Bible, and if my wife doesn't open up and say, hey, that's wrong, we don't know. I could say any... Well, there it is. We wrestle against flesh and blood. And if you ain't got your Bible to reference God's Word, you might just believe that the preacher... Because, after all, he is the preacher. He is the man of God. Supposed to be. Isn't that amazing? Let me tell you what, they ain't got nothing over on us. Let me ask you this. Is that what yours says? That's what mine says too. Yeah, I know it's true, but I just want to use that as a commercial break. Station identification. This is Harvest Christian Assembly, Myrtle Creek, Oregon. We're a Pentecostal bunch around here. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit, raising hands, laying on the hands. We believe in the prayer and the reading of God's Word. And sometimes the preacher just has to get a little undignified because it's just too warm. He's dead. So you're stuck with me. Let me get back on track. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, what would happen, church, if we took that literally? What would happen if we took that literally? I'll tell you what one preacher did in St. George, Utah. If you don't know where St. George, Utah is, it's in the very bottom of the states on Interstate 15. It's about 45 or 50 miles from Zion National Park. Beautiful. We're there for 11 years in ministry. Built a great church down there. It was awesome. Loved it. It was wonderful. But you know what we were surrounded by? St. George was the largest city within good driving distance of a place called Colorado City, a place called Centennial Park. Now, if you don't know, do those names ring a bell for any of you? A little bit. Colorado City was the predominant place, the establishment for the polygamous sect of the LDS Church, the FLDS Church, the fundamental LDS church. It was established in Colorado City. They too had a little skirmish in their hierarchy, and so Colorado City got broke off from by part of them, and they become Centennial Park. But by and large, the belief system stayed the same. Multiple wives and a million kids. And we felt like God had put us there for such a time as this to stand in opposition against that. Well, how do you do that? You ain't going to go to Colorado City and start preaching Jesus to them because they'll... Well, who knows what will happen, but I can tell you this much. This verse says it's against spiritual wickedness in high places. So you know what I did? I had a guy in my church that was a pilot. Had his own airplane. And the Lord put a thought in my mind, well, what if you got in an airplane and flew out there? They can't get you. What if you went out there and flew around over that place and declared the Word of God over that place and bound the enemy and sent him running? And so, you know what? I thought, well, hey, you know what? At least I'm going to get an airplane ride out of it. And so we got an airplane and we flew to Colorado City and Centennial Park. And we prayed and prayed and prayed in the Holy Ghost all around that place. And you know what? Them folks started coming to our church. You want to talk about building a youth group? Now, glory to God, you can build a children's church and a youth group in about a Sunday. You get two or three of them family. One of the ladies that came to our church and got saved had 14 kids. 14. I'm telling you, it's crazy. We took it to the next level. And in St. George, Utah, if you've never been to St. George, St. George, Utah is in a valley. St. George, Utah has the very first temple that Joseph Smith ever built is in St. George, Utah. St. George, Utah is in a valley. Interstate 15 runs right through the middle of it. There are high hills all the way around the city. And I thought to myself, self, what if we established prayer groups on four geographical locations above the city? And then what if you got in an airplane again and flew over those four groups of prayer warriors and prayed? And we did that, and our church began to grow exponentially. I mean, it began to just grow. I believe it's because we took literally that it was in the high places. And we begin to call those things down in the name of Jesus. Jesus himself went a few rounds with the enemy. And right after he was baptized, it's how Jesus began his earthly ministry. How would you like to come to the altar, get saved, give your life to Jesus, walk out the door, bam! The devil meets you at the door and just whack! That's exactly what he wants to do, and he does for some, and because of it, they don't come back. But I'm telling you, we need to come back. Look at what it says here. It's the way Jesus began his earthly ministry, but I want you to look at Matthew chapter 4 in the first 11 verses. And I'm going to ask you again to stand for the reading of God's Word. Can we just stand and honor God as we read His Word? Matthew chapter 4. Verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. And now when the tempter came to him, he said, He's talking to Jesus. And he says, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then the devil took him up into a high holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And again the devil took him to an exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. And Jesus said, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And the devil left him, and behold, angels did in fact come and minister to him. Amen. God bless your word this morning as we have heard it. You can be seated. Listen. Did you hear what I just read? Does your mind work like my mind does? No, it doesn't. Nope, it does not. But let me just give you a little insight into the way this gray matter here works. Who in the world does the devil think he is to try and give away something that ain't his to give away? He ain't got no authority over this place. But he's the father of all lies. But Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. And he said to the devil, the devil came at him with God's word, and Jesus rebuked and defeated the enemy with God's word. Listen, the devil knows God's word. He knows it. But he twists it. Takes it out of context. The temptation of Jesus by the enemy was an attempt to entice him from the pathway of perfect obedience to the will of God. Can I tell you, if the devil would have convinced Jesus at any degree, at any level, to buy into what he was saying, he would have been disqualified to be your Savior and mine. Because to be my Savior, he had to be perfect. We got to recognize, church, that every temptation, every attack from the enemy, it is from the devil, and its purpose is to attempt to divert us from the pathway of God as well. Listen, you got no idea, and I'm not going to stand up here this morning and tell you the battles that I face. The men in our group know some of the things that I face on a daily basis. And you know what I'm learning? It's because the devil's scared to death of us. The devil does not want us to walk in power and authority. The devil does not want me to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. The devil doesn't want me to lay hands on this young man today as we send him off to boot camp, that he would actually begin to just glow. As with any battle or with any war, you and I must learn the tactics and the different strategies of the enemy. They're going to teach you. My admonition to you, young man, is listen up. Pay attention. They're going to seem like they're the meanest guys on planet Earth, but they're trying to get through your head. All. I don't know about you, sir, but I have studied the word all out. You know what it means? It means the complete sum of all. Satan's very name means adversary. He is our adversary. He wants to see you fail. I mean, the audacity of somebody to get up out of their chair and walk up here and in the middle of the service start playing the drums. Are you kidding me? Freaked me out. I'm like, what in the world? Because you weren't sitting there when we started. And if you were, I didn't see you. Why'd you come up here? Do you play the piano? Listen, it takes something of a level of faith. He's never been on this platform before in that capacity. Ever. Did he give you any warning? He certainly didn't give me, and I'm the pastor. Can I tell you something? You do not have to get the pastor's approval when God speaks clearly to you and tells you to go do something. Now that ain't open season free-for-all for everybody to just rush up here in the middle of the service and start grabbing instruments. That's not what I'm saying. But when God speaks to you, you better do what God tells you to do. Glory to God. We have an adversary that was telling you, I would imagine, the whole time God's saying, listen, young man, I've gifted you with some talents. I want you to get up there. I want you to pick up a set of sticks. I want you to start beating on them drums. Oh, God, no way. And the devil say, don't get up there. If you get up there, you're going to make a speckle of yourself. Blah, 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 the whole thing. Did he say any of that to you? You were shaking. From fear. From fear and obedience. But that's good. Because when it ain't you, it has to be God. Satan is the arch enemy of every believer. He's been tempting people to turn from God ever since the first woman, and I have to say woman, on earth listened to his lies. You know what his tactic was? Doubt. I'll do the preaching, sir. This brother's trying to get me in trouble. Personally, it can be a discussion for later on. But I believe that Adam could have redeemed her in that very moment because he was a type of Christ. He could have said, no, we're not doing that. It is not going to happen. God said, and it would have been over, and we would be all naked this morning eating fruit in the garden. Just saying. one shred of doubt. Did God really say, play the drums? Did God really say, don't eat the fruit? Did God really say, go to this church? Did God really say to give 50% of my income to the kingdom? If He did, you better do it. Not because I need it, not because God needs it, but because you need to be obedient to God. Amen? His name is Adversary, and interestingly enough, His methods have never changed. He's always been one to cause doubt. He's the father of all lies. He tempted Eve in the Garden of Eden. Jesus in the wilderness. He tempts you and I in our daily lives. And when we know how He attacks, we can be prepared and we can be equipped. Young man, that's exactly what you're going to do for the next 9 or so weeks in boot camp. They're going to teach you the tactics of the enemy. They're going to teach you what to look for, how to respond, how not to respond. My challenge to this congregation is to lift Andrew before the Lord every day. Every day, without fail. Let me tell you something. When we know how He attacks, we can be prepared. I want to show you 3 people. Jesus, Eve, and you and I. He tempted Jesus by saying, turn the stones to bread so that you can eat. He told Eve, fruit would be good to eat if you would just eat it. He told Jesus, prove your divine sonship. Obtain all that you can see. No, none of that was... He already owned it all. When He talked to Eve, He said, listen, Eve, if you eat this fruit, it's going to taste good. I thought about doing this as an object lesson like we would do in children's church, but I just didn't have the time to do it. But what my plan was this. How many of you have smelled vanilla? Vanilla extract. How many of you remember Mama in the kitchen cooking a cake? Oh, glory to Jesus. And she bust out that bottle of Shillings or McCormick pure vanilla extract. And that aroma would begin to fill the house. Lord Jesus. You'd be like, man, there ain't nothing on heaven or earth that smells as good as that stuff. You know what I did? If it smells that daggum good, it got to taste good. Whoo! And so what I was going to do is get something, you know, that tasted really good and let you taste, and that's, it smells good. Try this. Not everything is as it appears. Man, this stuff smells good, but it's the nastiest stuff you ever had in your mouth. Whoo! How something that nasty can be put in a cake and make it taste that good, I don't know, but glory to God. Fruit would be good to eat. How about this? If you eat this fruit, you'll gain wisdom. You'll be smart. In fact, you'll be like God. That's what He said. That's what He said, though. He told her, look at this fruit and see that it looks tasty. How about you and I? Well, according to 1 John 2:16, He talked about the lust of the flesh. Any of us dealing with that this morning? You don't have to raise your hand. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes. These are all things that the enemy wants to use. Look at 1 John 2:16. This is what it says. For all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. We are to be in the world according to God's Word, but not of the world. And church, we've got to learn that there is a stark contrast between being here and it being in us. We have to remember that Satan was a great angel created perfect and good. Think about that just for a moment. When God created all things good. I'll get there. I like confirmation. Listen to this. He was appointed to be a minister at the throne of God. Sometime, though, before the world began, he began to rebel and he became the adversary. What does his name mean? Adversary. He became the adversary of God and of man. Look at Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 14 and 15. It describes to us what Satan was like. This is the definition, the declaration, however you want to look at it, of Ezekiel the prophet. He said, "You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in the ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you." That is amazing, church. It was amazing. Satan presently wars against God and His people, seeking to draw you and I away from our loyalty to Christ and into sin and this present world system. Listen, shut the TV off and stand your ground. You are the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. One thing that we cannot forget is that Satan is not omnipresent. Satan is not omnipotent. Satan is not omniscient. All of his or most of his activity is delegated to his demons. He has little imps and devils and demons running all around the place. But Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every demon has to flee. If you're harassed by the enemy, here's my thought for you today. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I love you, Jesus, Lord Jesus, all day long. You just talk about Jesus because at the name of Jesus, demons have to flee. Jesus came to earth to destroy the works of the enemy. 1 John 3 and 8 says this, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil." Here's a question. Did Jesus Christ in fact destroy the works of the devil at the cross? He did in fact destroy the works. He did in fact go to the grave and made a spectacle of the devil. Amen. We are victory. We are victorious over those things. Jesus came to establish the kingdom of God. He delivers us from the dominion of the devil. By His death and His resurrection, Christ initiated the defeat of Satan and thereby ensured God's ultimate victory over him. Are you aware of that? Look at Hebrews 2 and 14. A lot of Scripture today, but it's God's Word, so it's good. Look there with me, Hebrews 2 and 14. "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. O death, where's your sting? O grave, where's your hold?" See, you and I face a powerful army whose goal is to defeat the church of Christ. But when we believe in Christ, the satanic beings become our enemy. They try every device to turn us away from Him and back to sin. Listen, the enemy has studied. I'm a deer hunter. I'm an elk hunter. I mean, if it walks and breathes, I pretty much hunt it. There's a thing in the hunting world that is called patterning. And when you begin to pattern an animal, you begin to watch them. And animals are very systematic. Bighorn sheep, for example. Do you know if you see a bighorn sheep in a place on today, if you come back to that place today, that sheep will be in that same place this time next year, unless he's dead or wounded or whatever. Because they just make it this 360 and they're back in the same place. I watched a documentary by Eastman Films years and years ago called The Phantom Ram. You ought to look it up and watch it. It's a fantastic show. But you can begin to pattern them and you can begin to watch them. I got news for you. You're being hunted. You are being stalked like a prey by the enemy. And he's watching what you do. He's watching what you watch. He's listening to your conversation. He cannot read your mind, but you say enough to let him know what's going on. When we believe in Christ, we have victory. In fact, as believers, we are assured of victory. We have to engage in the battle until Christ returns, because the enemy constantly battles against all who are on God's side. Listen, you are not going to get out of this thing alive unless the rapture happens. Amen? You're just not. Neither am I. Frankly, I'm looking for the rapture. I really think that's going to be cool. Amen? It's going to be... I want to learn to fly. I believe I can fly. Oh, sorry. Sorry, I'll stick to preaching. All right. I'm telling you, we win this thing. We win this thing. Even though the enemy and his demons rule the world, they do not rule the universe. The stolen kingdom will be regained by Christ as the rightful ruler when he in fact appears. But in the meantime, we need supernatural power to defeat the enemy. And God has provided this power by giving us His Holy Spirit within us and His armor surrounding us. Listen, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's God's Word. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I'm the head. I'm not the tail. Judy, she used to have a cow named Poopsie, and I've been at the tail end. It's a bad place to be. There ain't nothing like getting whacked upside the head by a nice tail. When the tail's green, the cow's brown, something bad wrong. I'm the head and not the tail. You and I need supernatural power. You see, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says that when the Holy Ghost comes on us, we will be endued with power. The word power is derived from the old language, it's dunamis. It's where we get our English word dynamite. I doubt that there's very many guys alive that don't like blowing stuff up. I mean, it's just fun. You know, it's awesome. It's awesome. You have explosive power inside of you. We can blow the enemy away if we'll just tap into what he has got for us. Jesus was able to resist all of the enemy's temptation because he not only knew the scripture, but he obeyed it. Did this die again? Because there's a difference, church. There's a difference between knowing God's Word and obeying God's Word. There's a stark difference. You can have all the head knowledge that is out there, but if you don't have it in your heart, if you're not living it, listen, I've said it my whole ministry. I've said that there's going to be a lot of folks that miss heaven by 18 inches. That's the distance between your head and your heart, because you can know all there is to know about it, but if you've not applied God's Word to your heart and received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you will miss heaven. Amen. Preach on, brother. All right, I'll do it. Ephesians 6 and 17 says that God's Word is the sword to use in spiritual battle. In spiritual conflict, knowing Bible verses is an important step in helping you and I resist the enemy's attack. But you must also obey the Bible. Remember, Satan knew the Scripture, but he failed to obey. Knowing and obeying the Bible helps us follow God's desire rather than the devil's. How many of you know that sometimes what the Lord wants you to do don't look all that fun? How many of you know that what the enemy offers us, more often than not, looks like a lot of fun? Looks like a good time. You're going to have fun with this. Woo! And it leads to death and destruction and despair and disillusionment and separation from God and all those kinds of things. I'm telling you, whether it's getting on the platform and playing the drums or going out on the street preaching Jesus Christ or sitting in your prayer closet at home where nobody even knows what you're doing and seeking the Lord God on behalf of the pastor and the church and the city and the county and the world and all those kinds of things, it's between you and God. And God will not let those go unnoticed. The devil offered the world to Jesus if Jesus would only bow down and worship Him. It wasn't His to give. He had no authority. You know what you are today? If you know Jesus Christ, let me tell you who you are today. Whether you're from Washington, or whether you're from Timbuktu, or whether you're from Myrtle Creek, Oregon, doesn't make any difference. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, you are an ambassador of the Most High God. Now listen, I might have flunked political science and all those kinds of things in school, but I will tell you one thing I have learned as a pastor. An ambassador is someone sent from a place to a place with the complete backing of the place that sent them to the place that they're at. You and I, this is not our home. We are just passing through. We are citizens of the heavenly kingdom, and God has sent you and I here with a purpose and a plan to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified to the lost and the dying, to offer them hope. And I'm telling you, you've been backed with the power of heaven to get the job done. Come on now. That's just God's Word. Today He's offering you and I the world by trying to entice us with materialism. With sex. Did He say sex from the pulpit? Yes, I did. Sex. Pornography. Affairs. Lust. All those kinds of things. I'll tell you something. If you're talking about it, the devil will make sure it happens for you. Is this working?
Hello.
He's offering us materialism, sex, and power. The devil would like you and I to believe life's short. Get all you can. Let me tell you, life is short. We were just talking about it this morning, Lita. With Mariah. Gosh, I remember when they first started coming to the church, and she was just a little towhead. I mean, she was just a little gripper. She's fixing to graduate high school in the next few years. I used to have hair. I used to be slim and trim. Now I'm fluffy. My babies are having babies. Who's I just leave it alone. I'll just leave it alone. My babies shouldn't be having babies, but they're 40 years old. What in the world? What have you done to me? Made me an old man. Settle down, brother. I'll do the preaching. Just like that. Tom, remember when we was in high school? We had our whole life. We had our whole life ahead of us. Did you think 60 was an old man back in those days? Really old. I got that beat by 2 years. I must be ancient. I look at 62 now and I'm like, man, I'm just a young fella. And then I get off the chair, find out I ain't that young after all. Glory to God. Listen, if I'd have known I was going to live this long, I'd took better care of myself. Church, just like that, and it's gone. Just day before yesterday, he was changing his pants. Now you're sending him off to defend the freedoms that we so enjoy in this nation. Just like that. Life is truly short. The Bible describes it as a vapor, like a passing shadow. The devil says, life is short, get all you can. The reality is, life is short, give all you can. Even Christian leaders find themselves tempted to build empires here on this earth, but the enemy requires people to pay for such success by selling their souls to him. Listen, don't tell them about sin. Don't bring sin up in the church. Don't talk about hell in the church, because listen, life is already so bad out there, and there's just so much mess going on in the world. Why people don't want to come to church to hear about sin and how bad they are? They don't want to hear about heaven or hell. Tell them about the glories of heaven. But the problem is, we don't tell them the directions to get there. I can preach a beautiful sermon about heaven. I mean, I could just make you go, boy, I'll tell you what. But if I don't tell you how to get there, if I don't tell you what's required, you've got to confront your sin if you want to get there. You got to take care of some stuff. And it's as simple as confessing. The Bible says it's this simple. Believe in my heart, confess with my mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, I shall be saved. Period. Life is short. Faith without works is dead. I ain't never even seen Jesus. How do I even know He's here? By faith. Satan requires us to pay for success by selling our souls to him. Listen, we must resist that temptation the same way that Jesus did. When you find yourself craving something that the world has to offer, quote the words of Jesus to the devil. Worship the Lord your God. Serve Him only. Get behind me. And then it gets really hard after that. It gets really hard after that. We have to follow that advice. It's easy to talk the talk. But it's a different story when we begin to walk it out. So we have to follow the advice of the Lord. We have to have the prayer support of Christians and Christian friends. We need to remember that Jesus was tempted by the devil, but He never sinned. And although He may have feel, you and I may feel dirty after we've been tempted, maybe we thought some things that we shouldn't have thought, but we need to remember that temptation itself is not sin. You know how I know? Because Jesus Christ was sinless. And you want to know what else I know about Jesus? He was at tempted in all points, just like you and I were. His Word says so. You want me to tell about it? Hebrews 4 and 15. Jesus has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet. That's a great big three-letter word, yet. Yet, He was without sin. Church, you and I need to remember this truth, and it will help us to turn away from the temptation. You know why we don't say that? Because what He offers looks good. I've been tempted by the enemy, and I've given into that temptation way too often. Can I tell you something? He ain't never offered me something that didn't look good. Ever. Ever. Remembering this truth will help us to turn from the temptation. He knows firsthand what we're experiencing. And He is willing and able to help us in our struggles. Let me just throw this out there. If you're fighting something, if you're struggling with something, if there's temptation in your mind, if there is temptation on your lips, if there's temptation pounding on the door of your house, stand your ground. Call somebody. Pray for me, please. The devil's after me. He is after you. He is after you. When we're tempted to turn from God, when tempted, we need to turn to God for strength by the shortness of a prayer. Make a phone call. Call a Christian friend. Find a quiet place. Pull out your Bible. Begin to read the Scriptures. I want your whole family to come right here. All of you. All y'all. Come right here. Just stand right there. I'm going to do my part to not kill you, all right? You going in the Air Force? When you leaving? Tomorrow morning? Tomorrow. Going straight to boot camp. Can I tell you something? You think these two were strict? You've got no idea. You're going to learn to take orders. You know why? Because all those drill instructors are on a power trip. Do you believe that? Well, that's wrong. It's wrong. That's a trick question. They're going to teach you to take orders because they ain't got time for you to argue about anything. If they say, get down, get over there, shoot here, shoot there, it's because they want to protect your life. They don't want you to say, well, how come? What for? I don't like that gun. You're going to learn to take orders to save your life. The orders you learn to take might be to save somebody else's life. In a stretched out, elongated kind of way, the orders that you learn how to take might be to save the lives of every one of us in this congregation this morning. This is heavy. I understand that. But that's why I'm here. I want you to know what you're going up against. Sweetheart, you want to make this man your husband. That's going to be on hold. I think it was wisdom that y'all, took a break. And this is going to be a hard time for you. Yep. When he comes back, going to be good. Okay? I'm speaking that as prophetically as I can. Your job while he's away is to lift him up in prayer. To be an encouragement to him. To trust him. I don't know how it's going to work in the age of cell phones and internet and all that kind of stuff, but I know that by and large they're going to try and keep you off the phone and off the computer and separated from the outside world so that you're single-minded. You heard me talk, I believe last Sunday I talked about being single-minded. That's why boot camp is important, because they got to change your thinking. By the way, don't let them change all your thinking. Your hope is not in the military or in the government. It's in Jesus Christ and Him alone, period. It's hard, ain't it, Mama? Yes, you are. And so are we. I could talk for the next 45 minutes about what you're about to do, but I'm not going to. But I am going to ask some of you guys, Mike, Rich, Tommy, Bob. Gary, come up here. I don't know what happened to my oil. Somebody got some oil? I need to grease these guys up. Good Lord. Church. Stretch your hands this way, will you? Andrew, I'm going to send something with you when you leave today. Don't let me forget. You've heard me read it as a declaration over this congregation about being a warrior. And I want to send that with you. I feel like the Lord wants me to have that go with you. Because you're going to learn some things. There's going to be some things that you do and that you learn that are going to change your life. And when you come back, if you come back, you might stay in. Who knows? I don't know. You probably don't know. But should you come back, you're going to be a different guy than when you leave. You're going to be stronger physically, mentally, and emotionally. I want you to remember, she ain't going to boot camp. Mama's not going to boot camp. You're going to boot camp. And so when you come home, you don't expect that they've been in boot camp. They've been in the closet. Okay? Church, stretch your hands this way. Father God, in the name of Jesus, as His pastor, I lay my hands on this young man. I baptize this young man. And God, I believe that Your Holy Spirit is within him. And I pray, God, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, You'd begin to well up within him. Lord, that You would light him on fire. God, that when people see Andrew, they know that this is a young man of God. That they know that inside of him is absolutely a warrior. And that he is founded on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. That he is going to do exploits in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for his fiance. I pray for this precious young lady, God, as she has to stand in the door figuratively or factually and wave goodbye. the God, your Holy Ghost, would well up within her. Lord, that by faith she would seek your face. That, Lord, that you would help her to be equipped and ready for the return of her fiancé and the day that they walk down the aisle together to become one flesh forever. Be with her, God. Lord, let us wrap ourselves around her and lift her up in prayer. God, I pray for moms. God, that as they watch their babies go through things that they can't control, that they can't change, that they can't fix, that they can't do this or that, give them faith, Lord, in the fact that they have raised them up in the ways of the Lord. And your Word says, when they're old, they won't depart from it. God, let them have faith in you today. That they are going to be who you have designed and created and fashioned them to be. God, I pray for dads today. God, that you would let dads know, I've done my best to raise my daughter and my son the way you have me to do it. That, God, they would follow you all the days of their life. And when mom's just sitting over on the couch crying her eyes out and you don't know why, maybe you could just slip your arm around them and say, I understand. Just begin to pray for mama that God will watch over her. That one day there's coming a reunion. Ha! Woo! There's coming a day when every tear will be wiped from your eyes. There will be a great grand reunion, whether here on this earth or in the portals of glory. Father, cover them. I plead the blood of Jesus over his mind, soul, spirit, body, will, over his very life, God. I pray right now that you'd put angels around him. God, that you'd go before him. Lord, that you'd prepare the way. Lord, that you would make a way where there seems to be no way. That out of this belly would begin to flow rivers of living water. That you'd fill his mouth with your words, his ears with your still small voice, his mind with your thoughts, oh God, and his heart with your love and compassion. I pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said amen,
amen.
And amen. 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 Give me some love, buddy. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Proud of you. I love you, hon. You are welcome. Amen. You in a hurry? We're here for you. For real, we are here for you. We'll be here the best we can for you guys.
Thank you.
Amen. God bless you, ma'am. Sir, God bless you. You can be seated. Oh, Jesus. That was the easy part. Bow your heads with me. Bow your heads. This morning, you and I are being asked to enlist in the army of God. Today's the day. Whether you're watching by way of the internet this morning or whether you're in this room today, God is asking you to enlist in His army. God wants to send you to boot camp. God wants to train you for service in His army. Andrew went to a recruiting station and signed up. If you're here today, you're in the recruiting station. Today, God is saying, if you will believe in me, I will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You will be on the roster of heaven. You will be in the army of the Most High God. Too long, church, we have enlisted in the army and we were AWOL for boot camp. I'm asking you today, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today's your day. I want to know who you are so as I can pray with you. If that's you today and you're in this room, I want you to lift your hand up so as I can pray with you. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, anybody at all, say, "Preacher, that's me. I've never accepted Jesus." Maybe you've accepted Him and some way or another you've gotten away from Him. You went AWOL. And today you're saying, "Listen, I'm going to come back into the ranks of the army of God." If that's you today, in front of God and everybody, I'm going to ask you today, by the raised hand, you're making a declaration that from this day forward, I'm going to serve the Most High God. And I'm going to recommit and dedicate my life to the service in the kingdom. If that's you, raise your hand right now. I want to see it. Yes, I see your hand, ma'am. Somebody else say, "Preacher, that's me. Today is the day." If you're watching by way of the internet, again, I want to encourage you. Drop us a note. Tell us something that you have raised your hand. Because we will pray with you. If you raised your hand, again, I'm going to ask you to come to the front. I want to pray with you. I want to stick this thing in the devil's face right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. I know you told me, but I forgot what your name is. Kimberly. Kimberly, you got a fine daughter. You got a fine daughter. And she's hooked up with a fine young man. And she's got a fine mama. And she's got a fine dad. And here's the news. That's us. There's a devil that hates you. And he ain't happy that you're standing here today. You drove all the way from Washington to recommit your life to Jesus. But it don't make a difference where you do it. The fact is you're going to get it done. And from this day forward, ma'am, your life is not going to be the same. But you're going to be required, not by this preacher, but by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, that you need to get into God's Word. You need to begin to study and show yourself a workman rightly. Because you're going to have some power when you begin to pray for those kids. I know. Let me tell you something. If there's mess in your life, in your past, that's battling you right now, let me tell you something. It's in the past. Leave it there. Let me tell you what happens. Sir, come stand with your wife. Because I want both of you to hear this. I mean, you hear it from over there, but it's a little more impactful when you're up here. Because I'm just that kind of loudmouth. But I'm guessing that there's probably stuff in both of your lives. And the enemy wants to use that against you. Is that right? Is that right? It's true. Let me tell you something. When you ask the Lord for forgiveness, He gives you forgiveness. What does that mean? This is what it means in the literal sense. The Bible says, "I will remember your sin no more forever." When you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, which really took place when you raised your hand, all your sins are washed away. Your slate is clean. You've become justified by the blood of the Lamb. What does justified mean? Justified means just as if it never happened. That's the power of the blood of Jesus. The devil wants to say that's just a bunch of nonsense. It's not nonsense. I've founded my life on that. Here's what he said. "When you confess your sins to me, I have cast them as far as the east is from the west." Now, how far is that? It's a long ways away. So let me explain it to you this way. It's going to take a minute, but you got all day. If you take off going east, and you follow a compass going east, when will you be going west? You won't be, because you're always going to go east. If you take off going west, when will you be going east? You won't be. What if you take off going north? When will you be going south? Think about what you say. As soon as you cross the North Pole, you are headed south. My point is this. Salvation, forgiveness, is eternal. There's no end. He forgives us. If you take off going north, it becomes finite. There's a place where it stops. He said, I cast it as far as the east is from the west. Listen, don't let the devil lie to you. He has no power over you. Only what you give him. So, Father, right now, I lift Kimberly to you by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that you would wash over her by your Spirit. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over her mind, soul, spirit, body, will, over her very life. God, that you would endue her with power from on high. I pray, God, that when she gets home and she begins to open up her Bible and begins to read your Word, that your Word will begin to leap off the page and become the anointed Word of God in her life that would bring transformation and conviction and correction to all the areas that she needs it, that she will come back one day to this place and we will know and see that she has been in the presence of Almighty God and she is a new creature in Christ Jesus, walking forward for the glory of God. Now, Lord, thank you for this salvation. I give you glory and I give you honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Come on, church. Woo! Get her information so we can send her a little something once in a while. Well, glory. I didn't mean for that to take that long, but God sure did. Amen. So listen, let me close in prayer. Let me thank you today for joining us by way of the internet. I'm grateful to have you watching us, and I pray that you're learning. I pray that I challenged you at the beginning of this service. Don't just stay at home. Get up and come and be a part of what God's doing in a local church. Whether you're here or whether you're across the world, I don't know. But there's a local church that God wants you to be in to do what God's called you to do in this time, in this day. Amen? Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I again remind the youth of youth group today at 2:30, that you would be with them. I pray, God, for our Wednesday night service, our Thursday morning ladies, our Friday night men's, Lord, Saturday morning men's breakfast, Sunday church again. Lord God, we have got some stuff going on, and Lord, I thank you for all you're doing in every ministry of this church, and we give you the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. All God's people said amen and amen. God bless you. God go with you. Thanks for being here today.